We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Giving honor where honor is due is a big thing. And I love the fact that, I can't say I always loved the fact that I was involved in ministry at a young age, whether I liked it or not. But I have always loved the fact that I've had a man to look up to. And that's something I don't take for granted because it's not something everyone gets. But what I'm thankful for is that the house of God becomes a place where you can find what you have been missing. A place where you can have amazing father figures, man roles, woman roles, wife. Oh, no, you need your own wife. You can't. But you see what I'm saying? Like, God fills the void through his church. And so one of the things that I was thinking about as we went through this today, I thought, man, I would really love to be able to ask some poignant questions and just draw some wisdom out of Pastor Don. And for those that don't know, as the founding father of Metro Church, on our 36 years of church, I thought it would be amazing to have this opportunity and this moment to glean some wisdom from the patriarch of the house. What do you think about that? You know? And so we know this is God's house, and I wrote this down. We know this is God's house. He is father of all, but we also know God calls humans to execute his perfect will on this earth. And so Pastor Don and Pastor Nita, they executed this call, and they left the home that they had personally built on land that they had inherited to come and build a church in Marlboro, Massachusetts, leaving Virginia behind. And so for those that don't understand what you're sitting in right now, it's important to know that this was a call, this was a dream of God's, and he gave it to, entrusted it to people. And so these people are with us right now. And so as a house of God for God, to draw all people from all backgrounds to experience the love of God through the good news of Jesus Christ, that's what this was built on. It leads me right into the first question, which simply is this. Will you take a try in a minute, not in literally a minute, but take a minute and try and actually put into words what you think as you sit here and look at all God has done over the past 35 years.
Can you hear me now? It's amazing. I actually catch myself. We sit here and marvel. 35 years ago, it was a different world. And we look at the dream that God gave us 35 years ago. And the first thing that strikes me is that he saved my family and kept us. Ministry is demanding, but it's rewarding. And Nita and I look back, and our children have been able to witness God's fruitfulness, his promises come true. And that's so important for all the generations. Our kids got to see it. And we're so thankful. And It's a wonderful blessing, but we sit here and we marvel about it, and God has saved so many. We have families that are here from the beginning of the church. Some of them have four generations in this church, and Nita and I have four adult children. They're all married to wonderful spouses, eight grandchildren, and you know, we've told them, you're adults. You can go wherever you like. No, we're staying here, and so they're all still here. Every Sunday morning, it's like family reunion, and that's an amazing thing. And so, you know, when it comes to families lasting, you just got to stay on the truth. Just keep doing the right thing. And it's an hour by hour, day by day thing. But truth, having grace in your family, you're never always right. Sometimes you just have to be raw and honest. But having grace in your family and being committed relentlessly builds lasting families. But, you know, God's done everything he promised. And it's an amazing thing. It's been long. It's been tiring. It's been traumatic. It's been tedious. But it's been exciting and thrilling and fulfilling. And so if you've got all of that junk going on, well then, you know, that's life. It's just the way it is. And The other thing, God's defeated the giants. Over these 35 years, we faced some serious giants when we came here. And we can't tell all the background of the story, but the woman who had gotten miraculously healed of cancer, doctors had just given her weeks. She got healed and all. Then she died while we were in the process of moving up here. And it was like the most devastating thing. But, and I said, God, what are you doing? Moved my whole family, left the home that we built, everything else. And amazingly, God told me what he was doing. But I couldn't tell that family at the time. But it was all necessary for this to come about. But God's been amazing. We came here with no identity. And remember, 35 years ago, there weren't any church problems going on a national scale. There weren't any of those things. We came into a really, really strong religious setting here. And nobody ever heard of the name of our church. We didn't have a big organization. We didn't have a big budget. Our worship and our preaching was different. The economics giant of trying to make it here after coming out of Virginia. And then we even had a media test where we were on the front page of the newspaper on Sunday morning of all Sundays, right next to the Red Sox, because we were falsely accused. And that was all proven out and laughed at in court, but it didn't help our publicity at the time. The optics weren't that good. But
that just reminds you, the devil doesn't have to win. He just has to mess up your world. Because he knows he can't win. But if he can just continue to mess you up a little bit to make you question your faith, to question your call, because that's all he's trying to do, because if he can get you to give up on it, then he's done it.
That's what lawyers and politicians do. Once it's said, it's said. Doesn't matter if it wasn't true. If somebody proves it wasn't true, you got to say it. James 1, chapter 20, or verse 25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." Not the word, a doer of the work. People got to work. And work is what got this church to where it is. And every one of you that are serving, you are impacting the future of Metro Church, this region, and the world. And so, a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And, you know, the key things there, you can look into the law, but you've got to decide, I'm not quitting. I love the song that we sing, you know, not turning back now. We've gone too far. And so if you'll do the work, you will be blessed. Will you go through trouble? Yeah. Will it get miserable? Yeah. Will you want to quit? Yeah. And the big thing we need to learn is learn how to rest, not to quit.
Come on, that's good. You know, this next question I have kind of falls right in line with what we said, so we'll take a very short amount of time on it because you kind of already touched on it. But what things would you attribute to the success of Metro Church's 35 years of continued growth? And this is because when we moved up here, I was only 18 months old, so I don't remember nothing. I was along for the ride.
He was in a playpen.
That's right. Always. I can't hold me down. So listen, but there were so many churches from that point. If you look now, I mean, there were, how many churches were here and how many are still going after all these years?
There were six other non-denominational churches when we started here, and none of them succeeded. They don't exist anymore. When you know that statistic and you sit here and you say, God, you're wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Wow. And so what are the attributes you think that you would explain the success?
I see it coming down to three things. And, you know, it's a calling. And every person has a calling. You might be called to be a single mom. Whatever role you're in, you need to just be praying and doing all that you know to do to fulfill who you are at that time and hear what God's saying. But there's got to be purpose. And so there's purpose, there's passion, and there's presence. And if you lose one of them, it's like a three-legged table. It just won't stand up. And so you got to have a calling. And then the Bible says that God gives everyone a measure of faith. Don't ever forget that. There is a measure of faith in you. And you need to take that and build on that. Plus, a do or die commitment, a do or die trust. Commitment's one thing. Trust is another level. When you trust God, and it's just do or die. I'll do it or I'll die, but I'm not giving up. Well, then God can cause your life to flourish, and that's what's created this flourishing ministry. Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, and he's given you that.
That's good. I know we're coming up on 4 years, or finishing our fourth year this September, Pastor Julie and I leading the church, and I can tell you, the things that were put in the soil 35 years ago, the success we continue to see, we know it's just God blessing the generation prior to us. We're thankful that we're here and that we continue to see growth. But what was put into the soil all those years continues to sprout. And so I'm thankful that we get to stand on the shoulders of giants that have gone before us. But we just need to remember, if we lose our first love, there's no guarantee it continues. Right, we've got to be seeking God. That what has kept us the first 35 years has to keep us the second set of 35 years. We can't lose focus of what's important. Yeah,
yeah. And the other thing is, there's a time, and thank God we transitioned this church at the right time. My wife and I, God gifted us for the task that we had. And we know well, right now, we could not do what Chad and Julie and this church are doing with our leadership. You've got to understand when to pass it. And thank God that happened here. And Chad and Julie are equipped for what they're doing. This church is continuing to flourish. Our numbers keep going up in every category. And we're so thankful for that, to see what you've spent 35 years on continue to flourish and get healthier. And so we had our job, and hopefully we did that. But they are doing an excellent job now. We commend them for that. And it's a wonderful thing to sit here every Sunday. I mean, we didn't have any band. We didn't have any teachers. We didn't have any of these lights. And we didn't have a computer or a phone.
I grew up in the church. It wasn't fun. But God showed up all the time. God was always there. It was just very different.
In that case, it was do it or you will die. But come on, parents, be strong in the Lord.
That's right. So, you know, we have so many questions. And so some of these, we'll just have you roll through. But another question is, when was there a time that God had to show up and answer the prayer, a memory of when God really came through over these years?
Well, the first, as I already mentioned, when Lena Santella, the lady who had been miraculously and thoroughly healed from cancer, while we were in the process, I was here for a weekend prior to us coming up. I would come up every weekend, and she passed away.
And they were giving her days to live, and she ended up living for almost a whole other year after the miracle, right?
Yes, and was totally well. She and her husband drove to Virginia, thanked the church there for praying for them, and she lived healthy. But then when we're getting ready to move up here almost a year later, and I'm here on a weekend, she passes away suddenly. And this whole church birth was based on the healing she experienced and so on, and now it was just like the carpet was pulled out from under us with this ministry, and everything God had said, all of a sudden, you're like, okay, God, what does this mean? And as I said before, fortunately, God helped me to understand it, but at that time, it wasn't something that I could share that would help others. And so that was the first one. And then, interesting, we ran into a financial crisis. And we actually stood up, and I had several of the elders. And thank God for our eldership team. We've got the best elders in the world in this church. And if you don't know who they are, that just tells you what a quality church you're in. But at any rate, a financial crisis, we stood up, we said it. The church responded, took the church right out of that crisis, and we moved on from there. And then the other big thing was God showed up back when we had Surge in 2011 and on a Sunday, just expanded the house in preparation for where we are now.
Yeah, that was a catalyst. And going back to that comment about the eldership, it's because there's no power struggle in this church. So if you don't know the names, it's because there's no power struggle, right? It's just there's an alignment and a unity. And man, they have my ear, and I look to them for counsel because we know that there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Isn't that right? And so,
and we've never lost an elder in 35 years.
Whew. That's worth a hanky wave or two. So I kind of want to jump down and get a little light here. What's your favorite memory of your father?
His eyes. That's a strange answer, I know. But first of all, my father was an executive for Chrysler Corporation. And all of the years I was growing up until I was a teenager, he left Monday morning, got home Friday evening. He had to travel. But he was a wonderful father. But when he looked at me, I knew he loved me. I could see his love in his eyes. And I could also see his limits, where my limits were in his eyes. But he was a good father, a loving father, and I'm one of six children, and he did a great job. And so his eyes are the things I remember the most.
So what are a few things your father taught you that you wish every man or person knew?
His family was always first. His wife, his children, and he valued us over everything else and would do anything for us. And then social etiquette was very important for him, not only because he was a corporate person, but to have a happy and prosperous life, you need to know how to get along and to be friendly and how to cause other people to feel well in your presence. And then the last thing would be, he always, strangers were friends you just hadn't met yet. That's the way he saw life. He was a happy, jovial type of person, and a stranger was a friend he just hadn't met.
And you talk about that etiquette. You know, I hear the stories coming down from you of things that he told you, such as if you can't necessarily respect the person, you respect the uniform, things like that in the military, those ideals of, you know, it's not just about what you feel, it's about being in under authority so that you can have authority, those kind of things.
Yes, and Dad tried to serve in World War II, but they wouldn't take him because of an eardrum and flat feet and so on. But he gave me that advice as I was going into the Navy. And it's the best advice I ever got, and I got it from a person that never been in the military.
So you may not necessarily love your boss, but you got to respect your boss because they are your boss. And so those little things, they come out and they stick. And so here's a good thing. On Father's Day, what does it mean to be a godly example and lead your home?
Well, love that imitates Christ and secures your family. In the words that are translated as love, there's a word called sorge. And sorge is the type of love that makes a person feel that they belong and that they're accepted. And that's such an important thing. And we know of a lot of people who have hurts because they don't feel they belong. They don't feel that they're accepted. They sometimes feel tolerated. But that type of love, and then integrity, and especially with our children, with our family, being honest and trustworthy in our humanity. Sometimes you get it wrong, you just need to say, I got that wrong. Because what it does is causes those around you to feel secure because they realize that you'll admit it, you won't try to smoke screen it. And those types of things cause people to settle in, understand they belong, understand they're valued, and understand that you're not going to just try to slip something by them.
And now Father's Day is a bittersweet holiday to so many that are without a father. What would you say to children without a dad present?
You know, the first thing is you really need to know that God knows. You need to understand he hasn't forgotten you. You're not out of his sight. You're not lost in the crowd. He knows and he steps in for you. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 says, Father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, this is God, whose dwelling is holy. And God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Don't allow your hurt to turn into rebellion. Don't get yourself so that you're in that. Turn to God and take this verse, study this verse. But he said he's a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows and so on.
I love how 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I'll be a father to you and you'll be sons and daughters to me.
Yes.
So good. You know, there's so many questions. I'm having to go past some good questions too. This is a very difficult time in my life right now. Just wanted you all to know that. What would you say to encourage the single mother finding it difficult to try to be both mom and dad?
I deeply admire you. I deeply admire you. You know, I think you're a superhero in society, really. I really do. And you've taken on two of the toughest jobs in society. Most of us are having trouble just doing the one that we're actually gendered for. But I believe God's promise. Look, God's promise to be a father to the fatherless, I believe also is a promise to you to be a husband to the husbandless. And if you do your best, God will do the rest. And I'd also say, trade in your stress for trust. When you don't know what, just trust. Great prayers, God help me now. It's good. It's hard to forget. God help me now.
It'll come very natural.
And
just, you know, let it roll off the tongue. Roll off
I
the
say
tongue.
That really sincerely. That's how I've gotten through life. And the way to have a successful future, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter who's against you, no matter what kind of disadvantages you have, if you just do the next thing right, that's how Joseph, when you read the life of Joseph, that's how he got through everything. He did the next thing right. And if you keep doing that, you'll have a right life. Sometimes you fail, get up. Don't stay down and don't accept condemnation. Get up. Ask God to forgive you and do the next right thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Are you guys getting anything out of this today? Yeah? Here's another question. People often view God the Father in light of their earthly father. What would you say to those who struggle with their view of God because of a negative father experience?
This is a real problem. And it's you know, a naturally happening problem. But I would encourage them to understand the difference between the created father who failed and the creator who has never failed and won't fail. When you distinguish that and you realize, look, people make mistakes. My real father made some mistakes. I've heard stories you wouldn't believe. 35 years of ministry in counseling sessions, just awful things, awful things. Been times I wanted to get up off of my desk and go find the guy. But those things happen. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when you can allow the Word of God to bring you up out of that disastrous situation, heal your emotions, help you to have a healthy outlook, and come to the place where you can look to God. And then in that process, you'll most likely do some healing on that bad situation as well. That should give great confidence and hope in your Heavenly Father.
Don't allow yourself to see, unfortunately, and not to start preaching because we got more questions, but simply remember, I spoke a message called Limitless God, and I talked about how our God is limitless, but he's made his own boundaries based on our faith. Meaning, he doesn't have to end there, but if you can't believe beyond there, then you've limited your God. So what we're continually doing daily is trying to remove boundaries, because we've got to remember God is bigger than that, even though my preconceived notion might not see it, or based on my experience, I can't allow my experiences to continue to keep me from God's best in my life. And so I say that for all those that have had a negative experience for their father. Don't let it limit the good father who wants to provide.
That's good. And there is actually a scripture that says, and they limited God. And so we don't want that to happen.
So if you could go back into time, what would you change?
Not much. Because we made it. And so, you know, and I say that, please, I say that humbly, I say that thankfully, but I say not much because, to tell the honest truth, this has been a feel your way forward ministry. There's been no highway, there's been nobody there exactly. God has sent wonderful people, and we have had great connections. And, you know, we came up here, we started in a living room, started with our family. And then we end up being introduced by Brian Houston at Hillsong in a meeting. And we end up being introduced by Joel Osteen in Boston. Who does those things? People don't do that. God does that. In Charisma Magazine, when we had the surge, God does those things. And you don't touch His glory. Be thankful, appreciate, walk humbly, but don't touch His glory.
Then being on national television with CBN, there's just so many things. Yeah. God, it's a God thing. And no, notice I didn't say, what do you wish you didn't have to go through? I said, what would you change? That would be a long list.
More education would have been a nice thing, but some education can get dangerous. So
yeah, that's
take
true.
Your risks smartly.
And based on time, I'm going to have to jump down here to this last one here. After 35 years of Metro Church, what are the things you still want to be on the forefront of every Metro Church partner's mind?
Luke chapter 10, verse 27. It's the verse where it says, you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's several things here. First of all, there are four parts there. You got a heart, soul, strength, and mind. We need to sit and think and pray, God, help me to understand each one of those because I don't want to leave one out. You said four. I want to do all four. And when you sit and meditate and think about those things, they'll enrich you. And then when it says love your neighbor as yourself, you can't properly love your neighbor until you properly love yourself. So learn to love yourself. And you have to do that, you know, in God, according to the scripture. But learn to love yourself so that you can love your neighbor. And God help us to love our neighbors. And then lastly, daily, we need to pray like Jesus said to. And I don't mean to repeat what we call the Lord's Prayer. But it's an instruction in prayer. And it says, our Father in heaven. And we put Him in that heavenly Father, not earthly. Our heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. A lot of times, God's name gets slung around. And a lot of times people talk, He's not your chum. You know, He's not your homie. He's your Lord. He's God. And so, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come. And a lot of times we can say, oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, but you just stop and think about it. How many times do we really want our kingdom to come in Jesus' name? But hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. Spiritual daily bread, as well as natural. And forgive us. And look what it says. As we forgive our debtors, we've got to be forgiving. And if we want forgiveness, we need to be giving that.
We got to love God. We've got to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? So that means we've got to raise the level of love for our neighbor by raising the love, not of ourselves, but loving ourselves because of the image of God in us, understanding we were created. You know, and I'm constantly reminded that God created us for purpose. And that's what He's saying. He's saying, stay in the prayer closet. Stay in those moments of being able to seek God, because it's in those relational moments with God that He reveals the next step. You know, this has been a Feel Your Way ministry And 35 years later, we continue to see God's blessing. Can I tell you the very first step of really being able to love yourself better so that you can love your neighbor better is to experience God's love, because it's His love that helps us love beyond ourselves. And so I believe there are people in this room right now that you really need to get your heart right with God. You need to say, God, I need you in my life. I need your help. I need your grace and your mercy. I need your forgiveness.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.